We live in a world where you can be surrounded by people, but still feel completely isolated. You can talk all day, have lots of Facebook friends and Instagram followers, but still feel like no one really knows you. You can show up at church and serve and smile, but still feel deeply weighed down. Because loneliness isn't just about being alone. It's that silent sense of being unseen, unnoticed, on the outer, even when you're on the inside. And for some of us, that idea isn't just theoretical. It's right now. One in three Australians say they feel lonely, even higher among young adults. Over two in five report feelings of ongoing loneliness, which means this isn't just rare. This doesn't mean it's just something out there. It's sitting in rooms like this. It's sitting in rows like these ones. It's sitting here inside of us. It's that feeling that no one really gets me. No one really sees what I'm going through. That, and even if they did, they wouldn't care anyway. And so you learn to manage that. You keep things on the surface. You play your role. You say everything's fine when it's not. But slowly and quietly, you begin to settle for a life where you're present, but not really known. And for some of us, it's not just the loneliness. It's the thing that sits behind the loneliness. Shame, failure, sickness, a past that you just can't shake, something that makes you feel like I don't belong here. And whether anyone says it out loud or not, you feel it, so you keep your distance. You don't let people get too close. You don't let them in. Now, what's interesting here is that today, if you feel like an outsider, you can hide it. You can sit in a room like this and keep it to yourself and to yourself. But in Jesus' world, you couldn't hide it. It was front and center, visible, labeled, public, outed. We hide our distance from others, but they wore theirs. You didn't just feel unseen, you were treated that way. And here's where Matthew now takes us, because in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is going through the towns and the villages, teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every disease and every sickness. And word spreads. The people bring the sick, the suffering, the demon-possessed, and the crowds, they begin to gather, large crowds from everywhere. But in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, Jesus goes up a mountainside and he teaches what this kingdom is like. Where the poor in spirit are blessed, where the meek inherit the earth, and where the pure in heart will see God, a kingdom that sounds beautiful. But it raises this question for us: who belongs in this kingdom? Because if we're honest, most of us don't feel like we measure up. And then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. The same crowds, watching, waiting. And the very first thing that Jesus now does in Matthew chapter 8 not only answers our question, who belongs to the kingdom, because it answers our question, who belongs to the kingdom, because what happens next is not what you'd expect at all. The first person that comes to him, comes to Jesus, is a man with leprosy. See that with me, won't you? Verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Leprosy, not just sick, but untouchable, unclean, pushed to the margins of society. If you had leprosy, you didn't just feel isolated, you were isolated, removed from the community, cut off from worship, separated from other people. You didn't walk into crowds, you stayed away from them. And yet, here he comes to Jesus. He breaks through the crowd, he kneels before him, and he says this in verse 2, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now I want you to hear that. Not, can you make me clean, but will you make me clean? He already believes that Jesus has the power to do it. The question is, will Jesus use his power for someone like me? And that's the question that sits in a room like this one, isn't it? I know Jesus can. I'm just not sure that he would. For me, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Everything hangs on what Jesus does next. So let's see that, verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus touches him. No one touches him. No one goes near him. But Jesus does. And then he says, I am willing, be clean. Willing, did you see that? Not hesitant, not reluctant, not distant. Jesus is willing. Because here's what happens when the kingdom comes near. The excluded aren't pushed away, they are welcomed. And immediately his leprosy left him. Now friends, don't miss what's happening here. Because only God in the Old Testament healed leprosy. This is God-level work. But now here's Jesus touching a leper and cleansing him immediately. This isn't just compassion. This is authority. This is identity. Jesus is not just willing to make him clean. He's able to do it in a way that only God is able. And then Jesus says something really surprising there in verse 4. See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why? Because this isn't just about this man anymore. This is a sign. Jesus sends the man to the priest to be examined, to be declared clean, to be restored according to the law. Do you remember what Jesus has just said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18? He hasn't come to abolish the law. He's come to fulfill it. And now he's showing just that. The law recognized what was clean. The priest could confirm it, but neither of them could make it happen. Jesus can. And when this man now walks back into the temple, cleansed, restored, and made whole, he becomes a testimony, not just that he's been healed, but about who Jesus is. So the question is not, can Jesus heal? The question is, do you believe that he's willing to heal you? Because Jesus doesn't stand back. He moves towards you. He reaches out. He says, I am willing. But Matthew hasn't finished yet. Because the question's still there, isn't it? Who belongs in this kingdom? Is it just the obviously broken that get in? Is it the visibly unclean just for them? Or does this whole thing extend just a little bit further than that? Well, Matthew gives us a second picture. And this time it's not one push to the margins. It's someone who you'd expect to be even further away than that. Look there, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. A centurion, a Roman officer, a Gentile, an outsider, an occupying foreigner. This is a man people resented, a man with power and control. And yet verse 6 says this, Lord, he said, my servant lies home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Listen to what he says, Lord. At one level, it's respectful. It's an honored title like Sir or Mister. But it's more than that, isn't it? Here's a man who gives commands, a man who's used to being in control, but now, well, he's not. He can't fix this. He can't give orders. He can't control the outcome. So what does he do? He comes to Jesus. And he places himself under Jesus' authority. Verse 9, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does it. Before the centurion talks about the soldiers beneath him, he talks about the authority that's above him. He knows what it means to stand under someone else's command. And now he does just that. With Jesus, he calls him Lord out of respect, but also as a commander who is no longer in control of his own world. He places his will under Jesus' authority. Here's a guy who can command soldiers, but he can't command this sickness. He can give orders, but he can't make this any better. And so he comes in his need to the one who can do something, Jesus. Look there, verse 8. Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. Because once you recognize who Jesus is, You don't need to be in control anymore. You can trust his commands. You can trust his authority. You can trust his word. Look there, verse 10. Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You see, this is what happens when the kingdom comes near. It's not the worthy who get in. It's those who trust Jesus at his word. Not in all of Israel. Not amongst the insiders. Not amongst the religious. But here, a Gentile, an outsider, an occupying foreign soldier. Such great faith. Jesus is amazed. Verse 13, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And in that moment, the servant of the centurion was healed. Now notice this, no touch, no presence, just a word. The leper needed a touch and Jesus gave it. The centurion trusts his word and Jesus spoke it. And here's where this lands for us. Because the centurion never saw any of this happen. He didn't watch the healing take place. He didn't witness the moment himself. He has just one thing to go on, the word of Jesus. And that's exactly what we have, isn't it? Isn't it? We don't see everything that happens. We don't control the outcomes of life. We can't command life's events to obey us, try as you might. So what do we have? His word. His promise, his authority, his voice. And so the question becomes, is his word enough for you? When you can't see the outcomes, when you feel out of control, when everything in your life wants proof, is his word enough for you? Because faith isn't worthiness. Faith is placing yourself under Jesus' authority and trusting his word is enough. And here's the surprising thing. The outsider gets in. The one you wouldn't expect believes the most. But Matthew now gives us one more picture. This time it's not out there in the margins or up in the powers that be. It's at home in Capernaum. Ordinary, everyday life. Verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. Now, we read that verse and we think nothing of it. A fever, right? No biggie, right? Who cares? But in the first century, it wasn't minor. No antibiotics, no quick fixes. A fever could take you out. A fever could end your life. This is serious. And just quietly, Peter wants his mother-in-law to be healed. Which tells you something, doesn't it? This isn't really a mother-in-law problem that he has. This is a real problem. Curiously, Matthew places this right next to the verse 16. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. Now, let's not just draw any conclusions here. Let's not jump too far. But it's interesting, isn't it, that mothers-in-law and demons show up in the same paragraph. Here's the point. Whether it's sickness in the home or darkness that you can't control, Jesus steps in. Verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her. Just like the leper, Jesus touches her. Not distant, not removed, but present, personal, up close. Verse 16, he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. And again, Jesus does it with just a word. Just like the centurion believed. And notice this, he healed all, not some, not the easy cases, but all who came to him. Matthew now tells us what this means. Verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. The sickness, the weakness, the weight of it all. Jesus took it. He carried it. It's the language of Isaiah 53, isn't it? The suffering servant, the one who doesn't just remove suffering, but who takes it upon himself. So what are we seeing here? The leper? Jesus moves towards what's untouchable. The centurion? Jesus speaks with authority over the uncontrollable. And now Jesus is carrying what we cannot bear. And this is where most of us live, not on the margins, not in the positions of power, but just ordinary everyday at home. Tired, worn down, carrying things that just don't and won't go away. You can hide your loneliness, you can even mask your shame for a while, but eventually it all just begins to leak out of you. Matthew says Jesus carried it for you. Not just here in this moment, but ultimately upon the cross. Because this is what happens when the kingdom comes near. Jesus doesn't just stand at a distance, he steps in and he carries what we could never carry. Our sin, our sorrow, our sickness, our brokenness, and he bears it. This is what the kingdom looks like when it comes near. The one who feels untouchable, Jesus says, I am willing. To the one who feels unworthy, Jesus says, trust my word. To the one who feels burdened and weighed down, Jesus says, I will carry it for you. Same Jesus, same kingdom, same invitation. So the question is no longer, will Jesus come close? We've already seen that answer clearly, haven't we? The question now is, will you bring it to him? The part that you're now hiding, the part that you just can't fix, the part that's now wearing you down. This is exactly where Jesus goes. This is exactly what Jesus does. So what do we do with all of this? Well, here's three movements for you to practice this week. One, come. Bring one real thing to Jesus. Not everything, just one thing. The one thing that you've been hiding, the one thing that feels unclean, the one thing that keeps you distant from others. Don't try and manage it this week, just bring it. And say honestly, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Trust Jesus and take him at his word. Open the scriptures this week. Read what God says and sit with it. Instead of needing to feel it or to see it, trust it, because that's where we live, not by sight, but by his word. We're no different to the centurion. Carry, move towards one person, just one person. Someone on the margin, someone who's overlooked, someone who amongst us is hiding in plain sight. Don't fix them, don't preach to them. Move towards them. Be present, be close, be willing. The leper came, the centurion trusted, Jesus carried. And so this week you do the same thing. Come to Jesus, trust his word, and move towards others. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you are not only willing but able to make us clean. And so we come to you, broken that we are, full of sickness and sorrow and disease and sadness. And we come and we ask that you'd heal us, that you, by your word, would do your work within us to change us and to shape us, to restore us, to make us whole. And whether we're seeing you clearly for the first time or whether we're here again asking you to heal us, Lord Jesus, would you be willing to do that amongst us? Would you change us? Would you shape us to be more like you? Would you help us to bring what we need to you this week? And would you help us to trust you with it? Not to manage it, not to take it back, not to, I don't like where this is going, but to trust you with it. And we pray that you'd help us to move now towards others, because that's what you did. to those who are on the margins, to those who are on the outer, to those who hide in plain sight amongst us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be more like you and to be a church that's more like you to a world that sits on the outside, to a city that is broken and full of sadness and sorrow. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.